Welcome to Imagine This Podcast,
the show where we discuss, celebrate, and highlight all the excellent and abundant arts and culture in Milwaukee.
We hope that after listening to the pod, you'll see and experience our city and the incredibly vibrant arts and culture community in a new way.
We should do an episode remotely outside in the sun because it's tanning weather today.
Still a little bit chilly though, right?
Not when this thing's recorded. Come on, man. 65 degrees and sunny.
Officially spring.
That's spring. It's summer. That's summer in Wisconsin right there. We should be
is this full spring or not?
No, this is the real deal. We should be barbecuing brats, watching some sort of outdoor concert.
Okay, so catch us outside at a beer garden for a live show next week, I think. That's what I'm hearing.
I like it. We should have socially distanced audience members. We'll have a band. Let's just do it out. And I'm kind of partially joking, partially serious. We should do some sort of Imagine This Podcast live. Let us know if you'd come. If we get 50 people to add us, I will barbecue. I'll personally barbecue during the thing. I have to put some skin in the game. I'll personally barbecue during that episode if we get 50 people to tweet at us about.
So here's the challenge. If you're listening and you would come to that, please write us somehow and
write us. Tell us. Hashtag ITP live. Imagine this pod. Hashtag yeah. ITP live. Yeah. I'm ready. I'm in.
We'll also take carrier pigeon too. It doesn't have to be on social media.
I'll even count my friends in Colorado that listen to this podcast. You two, Corner and Condon, you guys count. If you hashtag at us and get 50 people to hashtag, we'll do it. I will grill brats for our audience members at that episode. So there you go. Challenge offered. Mm-hmm. And we'll see if they accept it. So that's that. David, also in the news is American Rescue, The Plan.
The way you presented that sounded like it was a television show or something.
Actually, my mind went to American Tale with Fievel, but yeah. It's a totally different vibe. Totally different vibe.
They're very different.
It's very different. Very different. Very different.
One is a mouse who has traveled across a boat to America.
And one is like a reality show about first responders, which doesn't exist yet, but probably would exist.
Are you sure? American like, Rescue. isn't Emergency 911 that show?
Yeah, but they didn't call it American Rescue.
That's right. Well, this is not that.
That would be the fake TV show on a sitcom about one of the characters who's starring on the show, but it's wink, wink, Emergency 911.
Right.
Anyways, David, talk about it.
Yeah, so the American Rescue Plan Act has, in all of the trillions, $1.9 trillion that had been passed back in March, there's a good portion of it that's coming to state and local aid. I think 1 point something billion to the state, about 450 million to the city and 180 million to the county. We had talked about it in a couple of previous episodes, and these funds have to be utilized to help impacted industries. And in the legislation, they've actually carved out some impacted sectors, such as airline industry, such as the restaurant hospitality industry. But they didn't call out one of the most impacted industries, as we all know from the Wisconsin Policy Forum study, arts and culture. And so we are working to put together a plan to ask the city and the county to direct some of those funds to artists and arts and culture organizations, because I think, as we all know, our sector is key to unlocking our region's creativity and also to our city and region's restart. As we think about economic recovery, it's not going to happen without our artists and creatives at the center of it. So we want our city and county to invest some of these American Rescue Plan Act funds into our sector. So it's going to be super exciting. Again, while you're adding us to tell us whether or not you're going to come to an Imagine This Podcast live recording, also tell us what you think you can do with some of this money. When you think about large scale arts program, what's important to you, right? So I think we want to hear from you to include all of this feedback into this ask.
I think it's my hope is that this is just a really great opportunity to reframe the conversation, right? And we think about, how is arts and culture actually part of the engine that's going to be bringing our city, our region back. And so I'm really excited to sort of see the possibility there.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as we've talked about in other episodes and also in some of our conversations with the media, right, that like artists and creatives in our city are largely sole proprietors, there are small business owners. And when we think about these programs that, you know, are that benefit that community, I think we have to sort of carve out that mind space for artists and creatives to remember that they are a part of that community, but also on the institutional side to remind our elected officials that our creatives make up the sort of like small business fabric of our region.
So something else we had going on this week was the sort of soft kickoff of
most football games start with a soft kickoff.
I think that's accurate.
It's a soft kickoff. Yeah. They bring the teams together and go, soft "Hey guys, kickoff. By the way, this is about to start. Don't tell all the fans. We're just going to start playing with the football.
That's right.
And then we'll see if people notice."
Well, I say it that way because you've gotten it going, but there's still room for folks to join in.
That's right.
If they're interested. So can you tell us more about...
It's akin to that merry-go-round at the playground where it's like spinning and you can jump on it and there's a way to jump on it. Thanks, okay. Lindsay, for that. We're really excited to put into play the Arts and Culture Advancing Public Health cohort. And what, again, brought to us by the good people over at the Annie Casey Foundation. Thanks for their support. What I'm putting together is a group of leaders, folks that are either about to or in process of implementing an arts and cultural practice in service to advancing public health, either the neighborhood or the city or the county level. And so over the past couple of weeks, I've been bringing some folks together to sort of get oriented, get ready for it. And this week we actually had our first meeting, but we still got a few more spots open. And it was really great. It was everything that I'd hoped because again, these folks are working in different disciplines. Some are working with veterans, some are working with elders. Some are targeting, working with 15 to 21 year old youth from, you know, certain neighborhoods that haven't gotten investment, right? So all sorts of different folks. But what's really cool is the different types of practices that they're exploring. And what we're going to hopefully do over the course of the next several months is support these leaders in putting these plans into action, but also supporting them to collaborate with each other better and to, you know, also learn about themselves. Because it's one thing, you know, one of the premises we put out there is that if you want change externally, it's got a parallel process with the change you are as a leader internally. So I'm really excited to bring a lot of the results count tools from the Annie Casey Foundation's results count practice into that world. And we just had a great opening meeting. It was super awesome. Some of the feedback that was shared was like, it was, this would be like the pull quotes on a movie poster. It was like invigorating. This is so much fun. I feel like I'm home. So I didn't say that. I'm quoting people in the room that said these things. And I was,
of course,
ecstatic.
None of us were in that room with you.
Yeah. You got to trust me, guys. You just got to trust me. Take my word for it. It was a good time. And so we got a few more spots open, but we're looking to, this convening will convene monthly on Zoom virtually, but throughout between our meetings, I will do some personal coaching. We'll do some peer connecting and resource sharing. So it's both, real time, but also, sort of like virtual sort of choose your own adventure pace. Too. So it'll be a fun, you know, it's just interesting how to deliver it and execute it. So there you go. That's my commercial for it.
You've been giving commercials the last few weeks. The pitch is definitely sharpened after the soft kickoff.
David, my life is just full of commercials I'm giving just to prove myself that I'm worthy to walk this earth. Like, please help me feed my family. Please help me eat. So I just transfer the muscle. It's just, I'm selling something. David,
I appreciate that.
Life in post-capitalist United States. It's life in these times.
Life in motion, if you will.
Life in motion. Some might say, oh, look at you, segue.
Look at you.
I'm getting good at these segues.
It's back-to-back weeks where Lindsay's had the power of segue. And what life in motion speaks to is what Lindsay will talk about. I didn't want to give it away, is what I'm saying.
Sure. Why don't we let Lindsay?
I've got this. So I mentioned Life in Motion because, as super fans of Imagine MK may know, last year we released a really lovely video on 4 and 4 Day featuring the poem Life in Motion by Dasha Kelly Hamilton. fast forward a year, and I'm giving you a very sneak preview on the down low that next week for 4 and 4 Day, we will be releasing another video that's a celebration of Milwaukee arts and culture in collaboration with our friends at the Downtown Bid and featuring a brand new original Dasha Kelly Hamilton poem. So stay tuned for that next week. Get excited.
It's the perfect transition to who our guests are today. And they are Jenny Gropp and Laura Solomon, tag team guests, but they're also tag team co-executive directors of The Woodland Pattern. Located in Milwaukee's River West neighborhood, The Woodland Pattern is a poet and artist-run nonprofit book center, gallery, and performance space. Each year, they present over 350 programs and events that encourage collaboration and exchange across the visual, performing, and literary arts. The Woodland Pattern is led by Jenny Gropp and Laura Solomon, who serve as co-executive directors. Prior to coming to Milwaukee, Jenny Gropp worked as the managing editor of the Georgia Review, the editor of the Black Warrior Review, and as an admin for the John Hopkins Center for Talented Youth. She's also the author of a poetry and prose collection, as well as holds an MFA in creative writing from the University of Alabama, Roll Tide. Laura Solomon received her MFA in poetry from the University of Massachusetts Amherst, has authored 3 books of poetry, and has also published 2 works of translation. She spent more than a decade teaching literature and creative writing at the university level. We're really excited to have Jenny and Laura on, as the power of the written and spoken word of poetry has done a lot to sustain all of us during the pandemic. Excited to hear how they've spent their pandemic year and what they're excited about moving forward as we emerge from the pandemic. After the break, it's Jenny and Laura.
Read a poem by Natalie Diaz. This is from her most recent book, Postcolonial Love Poem. It's called Manhattan is a Lenape Word. It is December and we must be brave. The ambulance's rows of light blooming against the window, its single siren cry, help me. A silk red shadow unbolting like water through the orchard of her thigh. Her, come, in the green night, a lion. I sleep her bees with my mouth of smoke, dip honey with my hand stung sweet on the darksome hive. Out of the eater I eat, meaning she is mine, colony. The things I know aren't easy. I'm the only Native American on the 8th floor of this hotel or any, looking out any window of a turn of the century building in Manhattan. Manhattan is a Lenape word. Even a watch must be wound. How can a century or a heart turn if nobody asks, where have all the natives gone? If you are where you are, then where are those who are not here? Not here. Which is why in this city, I have many lovers. All my loves are reparations loves. What is loneliness if not unimaginable light and measured in lumens? An electric bill which must be paid, a taxi cab floating across 3 lanes with its lamp lit, gold in wanting. At 2 a.m., everyone in New York City is empty and asking for someone. Again, the siren's same wide note, help me, meaning I have a gift and it is my body, made two-handed of gods in bronze. She says, you make me feel like lightning. I say, I don't ever want to make you feel that white. It's too late. I can't stop seeing her bones. I'm counting the carpals, metacarpals of her hand inside me. One bone, the lunate bone, is named for its crescent outline, Lunatus, Luna. Some nights she rises like that in me, like trouble, a slow luminous flux. The street lamp beckons the lonely coyote wandering West 29th Street by offering its long wrist of light. The coyote answers by lifting its head and crying, stars. Somewhere far from New York City, an American drone finds then loves a body. The radiant nectar it seeks through great darkness, makes a candle hour of it and burns gently along it like American touch and unbearable heat. The siren song returns in me. I sing it across her throat. Am I what I love? Is this the glittering world I've been begging for?
so good.
How's that? Good
job. That's so great.
Really intense. She's I feel like just one of the finest poets writing today, and that's a book that came out last year.
We were also going to bring her last year to Milwaukee.
Obviously. The future, she will.
Great. I'll share our brief poem of reflections on the spring equinox from sentences shared by Imagine staff and a couple community members. Having the vulnerability to hold tight to the things we carry forward. Longer and warmer days ahead. Later sunsets allowing more time for possibilities. Creating new memories in a new neighborhood safely. Spending more time outside and taking deep breaths. Experiencing my first spring on the east side, having the courage to let go of the things we need to leave behind.
That was great. Oh,
so great. It feels like a blessing. Like,
you know. That means a lot, given that you are both the heading of the Woodland Pattern, the Mecca of poetry here in Wisconsin and Milwaukee. So great to have you. We had to start our pod with a poem. So thanks for that. Welcome. Whew. How are we doing right now? How are we doing right now? We doing all right? We doing okay? How are you doing, listener? Are you all right, listener? You taking
feeling pull present, over
a little bit? You take a moment? Mm-hmm. I'll feel you present. I'm present. Jenny and Laura, how are you? You present? How are you?
Feeling good.
Yeah. I got a few tears in the eye at the beginning of that. But
yeah.
I'm here.
Yeah. Love the day, and here we are.
Yeah.
Well, I thanks so much for joining us and get us going and welcome. It's so great to have. Not that we're gonna break down both poems now. I just want to speak to. Mm-hmm. I think I'm struck by the span of time that both poems actually mapped. One looking past and present, and one looking forward.
Yeah.
In this one moment. And I think that's one of the amazing things about poetry is it allows us to be in several dimensions simultaneously, but yet present with each other on this podcast episode. We're so excited you can join us to talk about, we thought about, we were thinking about who we're going to have on. And the point of this podcast is to bring the joyful abundance that is here in Milwaukee of arts and culture. And we thought about the last year that we spent, a lot of us alone physically. And what did we do is we looked to arts and culture. In a lot of ways, we looked to the written word, we looked to poems. And that's where you all deal with, that's your current, that's every day. what a neat way. And so we wanted to bring you on in one way to acknowledge and celebrate how the written word has gotten us through the past year, but also excited to hear about how you've kept the written and spoken word in multiple languages, across multiple identities here in Milwaukee. So we're really excited to share that. But before we get to 2020, 2021, Lindsay, I've got to defer to your favorite question. Yeah. Or at least the one you made.
So I'd love to invite both of you to share a story of an arts and cultural experience earlier in life, could be from a very young age, could be more recent, that left a strong imprint on you.
Yeah, that is something I've been thinking about. This past year, there were so many different things, but I was thinking recently about something that happened, I guess it was in 2007. I was living in Philadelphia, and I was often going to New York for readings, for poetry readings. And there was this reading I went to at the Zinc Bar that has like this really famous series that's been going on forever. It's still going on. And I went to see this poet who I had been reading for nearly a decade, that I was just like, I loved this poet. I'd actually even met this poet, but I had never heard them perform. Mm. So her name is Alice Notley, and she's got a lot of books, and there's a lot of variation over the course of her different books. But basically, like in the last couple of decades, she's gotten really, she's gotten really voice driven in a way that's really different than we usually think about voice. Like when we're just like listening to Jenny read Natalie Diaz's poem, there's this like clear, like identifiable voice that that is showing up in phrases and whatnot, and is showing up in imagery. That's true of Alice Natalie too. But what I mean when I talk about her voice drivenness, it's more that she inhabits, or she lets inhabit inside of her, many voices. Mm-hmm. And you get the sense that you're listening to the living and the dead, and you're listening to like all of these spirits, like just like channeled through her. And so I had been reading this for a really long time. I knew I was going to love the reading, and I was really excited. But then, so I get there and it's like, it's summertime. So it's really like bright outside, and the bar is like really dark. And it's like, you're going inside like this sort of like mental dream space. And she reads these poems, and afterward I go back outside in that light. And there I'm like talking to people who just had the same experience. And it's this experience of awe. And like, we feel so connected to one another because we just heard this happen. We just witnessed this. And so I'm thinking like, oh my God, we need, my takeaway is like, we need a poetry church. Like I started thinking about like the spiritual experiences that I had, like as a child, like going to like church and whatnot. And like, that was just something that like I left, that kind of place for spiritual community, because it didn't work for me. But what I realized is like, we need these rituals. We need these moments where we all share a spiritual experience in community. And so I started like for the next like several years, just like dreaming of like, what if you could buy a church building instead of having like a Sunday service that's like sermons and dogma and all that stuff? What if you just like had amazing poets like Alice Natalie come and like read, and then maybe afterwards you could have a potluck and like, but that was something that like I thought about for a really long time. And I think that a few years ago when we came to Woodland Pattern, before we had actually started the job, we came here to watch the poetry marathon, which we have every year. And it is a ritual, a standing community ritual. And I felt like something similar. I mean, it wasn't the same thing. It was like a different experience, but it was an extremely spiritual experience of all these voices, once again, just like flowing through me for like 15 hours.
Wow. It was like 150 poets.
Yeah. Wow. 150 poets every year. So I just felt like I kind of found something similar to what I had been looking
for. Wow. Yeah.
I think one thing that, so I had a similar experience to Laura, obviously, at the poetry marathon, and we were thinking separately from one another just about what our most important experiences have been before we had this conversation with you. And I immediately went back to early 2019. When we were actually then working at Woodland Pattern, and we were having the artist Rachel Eliza Griffiths, she's a poet and photographer. She was gonna put on this photography exhibition in our gallery, and then visit to give a talk and a reading, and also distribute a chapbook that we made alongside the exhibition. And the exhibition is called Bruised Bullet Flower, and it documents Black and brown queer lives who are living under the daily threat of gun violence in the United States. It's extremely intense work. This was something that Eliza put together in her studio in Brooklyn in 2 days in 2018. She put out a call for models. She had several props inside of her studio, including she ordered the body-sized targets from the NRA that are the shooting targets. And she had big strings of belts of bullets, but also these amazingly ephemeral items like flowers and tulle, and the models, and an American flag that was worn down. And she just invited these models, all Black and brown and queer identifying, into the studio to interact as they pleased with the items. And she took pictures. And she wanted to bring it to Milwaukee, the show. We were like totally honored. She's a wonderful person to work with. But anyway, so the show itself is extremely intense to put together. And we also printed this chapbook, as I mentioned, and we had like 11 poets of color from their very well-renowned in American poetry. So this chapbook is amazing. We're already so excited about the event. And Eliza flies in from New York on March 15th. And that same day, there was this shooting at the mosques in Christchurch, New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
51 people died while they were worshiping.
Mm.
At the hands of a white supremacist gunman. And a lot of people here in Milwaukee were really upset about that because we have a gun violence problem here. And anyway, Eliza was extremely upset. And so we're talking to her that day and she's just trying to ground herself to come in and give this talk about all these photographs that are on the walls and to read her own poetry and the poetry of others. And then to have a talk with our community. And there are like 75 people in the gallery. They filled up. Everybody was so upset. And it became this space where first the grief was spilled out, but then all this, the celebration and the intensity of being able to communicate like through poetry, but then to just get down into it and discuss what they're seeing on the walls, what people are hearing, what they're feeling. Mm-hmm. And it was totally brilliant. And it's what we always want to happen at the best moments of poetry art at Woodland Pattern, you know, like for there to be some healing that can come out of the worst horror and growth too. So that was an incredible moment for me.
Mm.
Hearing both of you share those experiences, I think about the immediacy with which the community was able to react in that second story that you shared, Jenny. And how we haven't had that chance in the last year, and how we're going to need these sacred spaces, sacred in the sense that you were alluding to, not dogmatic, but sacred spaces to come together and heal. And through your work with Woodland Pattern the last year, you've been making these spaces in a virtual way. Can you share more about that work, about the prompts and other things you've been up to?
You know, the pandemic happened, and a lot, like I imagine a lot of other organizations, you just start responding on instinct because you have to, and then you start thinking about it. But to begin with, you're just like, how do we go on? And so immediately we were trying to, you know, figure out what is Zoom and can we do Zoom? Will that work? How do we make sure that, you know, people can be heard, that their internet connections are fine? Like, do we just start doing it essentially?
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't know how it was gonna go. We didn't know if it would translate. We didn't know if we would lose that intimacy that we always have in the gallery. But what was really strange to discover from the very, very first event that we had, you know, you're seeing the homes of the people who are reading. You can see poets' books on the back. I mean, there's just so much intimacy involved, actually. And you're listening to someone read a poem. And I don't know. It was just as intimate. It was differently intimate.
Mm-hmm. And it was shocking to have it work that way. Like, mm-hmm. I was flooded with something I didn't know that I would feel.
Mm.
First of all, I was like overjoyed to see like our regular community members there in the room. Everybody turns on their cameras.
Yeah.
And like, oh, the universe is opening up. here are the Milwaukee poets, and here are the Milwaukee poetry. And there were, you know, that first reading, we had like 75 people on Zoom, and we're just watching it all come on. It was like,
and what another part that was amazing was like, it wasn't just Milwaukee, it was people that we knew from across the country. And it's like people we hadn't seen in years that are tuned in for this reading. I saw one of my like old like professors there on the previous reading. It was kind of funny.
And we also had, you know, like there was a woman who, there was a virtual workshop that same day that we were just holding our breath that it would work out. We had people from all over the country, but we also had a woman from Lombardy, which in Italy, which at that time was completely shut down on the other epicenter of the pandemic. And she's like taking a poetry workshop, like alongside our community members who are here.
Talking with them about, you know, talking about what's happening in both places.
Wow.
Being able to talk about that.
And the poet was in New York, Monica De La Torre, who was teaching.
Yeah.
It was nuts.
It's just weird because you don't expect, like, you don't you're not having time to think about what could happen. You're finding out what's going to happen as you go.
Yeah, it makes me think moving forward, what will the balance be and what would the value be in continuing some of our virtual world that we've enjoyed the benefits of? And from that perspective of, we get to connect across countries and across time zones. And how do we balance that with that more immediate need to be back in in-person community? Just curious if you have any thoughts about how you might handle that from a woodland pattern perspective moving forward.
Well, we've had to begin to have thoughts because people have already been asking us a ton. We want this to stay hybrid. So how are you going to do that? And at first we were like, we don't know yet. We're still getting through this part, but we see the value. We of course can't wait to gather in person again, but we feel like there are opportunities for workshops to remain hybrid so that we can bring in poets from outside without having to have a huge carbon footprint. And we can also allow our community of poets here to gather with poets from all over the nation, which enriches their practice. And we find that the balance is staying true, so that we're able to perform the service that we really want to perform here, which is to provide a space and great poetry to people.
I mean, we definitely want for there to be in-person opportunities. Oh, yeah. I'm not going to stop with in-person, but we are definitely going to also think about how we can do some virtual stuff simultaneously. And the other thing that's happened too is we have these events, and we recently, with the Poetry Marathon in January, we started captioning, because that was all pre-recorded. We had all the videos from the poets come in. We were able to caption them. We realized how incredible it was to offer that. And with the live events, we haven't yet been able to do that. But what we are going to keep doing is recording our events and captioning them and making them available after the fact. So that's always part of what we do going forward.
And I think that one thing she's saying it's incredible to do that. And a couple of the reasons why is, first of all, of course, you're increasing accessibility for people who are deaf or hard of hearing. And you are also making possible for people to see the art of poetry. Staying true to the line breaks.
We're putting
flashes, so people can see how stanzas are broken and lines are broken.
Oh, nice.
So the craft is carried over too. Yeah. And it's been really wonderful. So we want to keep that accessibility going.
Yeah.
Last year at this time, we were scheming about how poetry was going to have a big role in introducing Milwaukee to the nation at the Democratic National Convention. And I think on Earth 2 that did happen, but in the Earth we're in, this timeline, it was different. However, we're going to start to reemerge. You started hinting at it, right? Where more folks are getting vaccinated, and hopefully we'll be able to share collective spaces together more. And how do you imagine, what do you hope the role of poetry can be as a city will hopefully emerge differently? We common cliche is we're not going to go back to normal. We're going to building something differently together. And I'm love to hear sort of how you envision how poetry and sharing words together will play a role in that for the city.
Well, I think that, there's some immediate plans that we have that on the small scale. Like this summer, we're planning on bringing back Poetry in the Park. We'll have events at Juno Park in August and September. And we're going to have a new series, an open mic, to celebrate being open.
And outside.
Open mic.
Yeah, and this month for National Poetry Month, we're actually doing something virtual that is really cool, that's going to start on Instagram that will live on the website, but it's a Milwaukee poem a day. So we have four different Milwaukee poet curators who have selected seven other Milwaukee poets, and they're all reading their poems. They're going to be captioned, et cetera, but so that's really great. But I think in terms of big picture stuff in the city, when you're talking about the DNC and how we were going to, use poetry to introduce people to Milwaukee. I think about the inauguration and Amanda Gorman introducing poetry to the United States. So
everybody was like a poetry fan, right? Like everybody's like, oh, I love it. And you're like, where have you all been? Like, we've been at this for a while, right? Like,
I know.
You'll take it though. You'll take the buzz, right? You'll take it, right?
It's been so funny. Like, so for, you know, I watched recently like this interview with Tongo Eisen-Martin, who's the new poet laureate of San Francisco.
Okay.
Local news channel is like, they're just, the anchors are just so excited about poetry. And it's just really fun. I'm like, maybe I should be writing some poetry. And he's like, yeah, you should be. but you know, talk about what we're doing with Dasha.
That's what I was going to say. You know, so coming out of all this excitement too, and also this desire to connect here on the ground in Milwaukee, all these partnerships have been coming up, you know?
Oh, great.
So we've been working for months now with Dasha Kelly Hamilton, who is the Milwaukee and the Wisconsin Poet Laureate. Just an incredible person, you all know her. But we are going to start a Milwaukee Youth Poet Laureate program.
Oh.
A ton of different
parts
in the community, but we really want to bring this opportunity for youth poets in the high schools around the city to create the words and to create a structure for them to rise up through. And, you know, we're extremely excited about that.
Is it like a league, like a slam poetry league? That's what I think of in Chicago. I was kind of coming up and that was a thing. Is it something like, you said, I heard structure, so that means like consistent events and places. And
but Dasha's vision for this, which we're totally in line with, like, is something a little bit more than a lot of youth poetry poet laureate programs in around the country. Hers is more thinking about like a cohort of like juniors and then like a single youth poet laureate as a senior. But we have all of this like in school creative writing programming that would be helping people along to the point at which then they try out for the
program.
But it would be a combination of both like written poetry and spoken words. So like you're doing both things.
Oh, yeah, lovely.
That's what's great about collaborating with Dasha is we're looking at how we can do spoken word and poetry on the page.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the craft is like full as can be.
Yeah. I think what's so exciting about that though, to me, what I get the most excited about is the idea that we might end up having permanent creative writing curricula in schools around the city. And that would be just like just fantastic.
It would be so exciting.
Well, we had Wendell Wellis of MPS Foundation on a couple weeks ago. We got to figure out how to get this in front of him and figure out how to get it embedded in there, right? Like, we got to figure that out because to me, that sounds just like a natural, to your point, like how do you institutionalize, if you will, a path? Because we know they're all there. We know lots of young people coming up. It's so awesome. Awesome. Well, man, I can't wait. And like I said, there's any of y'all also continue to program some really compelling, some awesome stuff at the Pattern as well. We're not going to wait another year to talk, but what do you hope we're talking about in April 2022? Right? It took us a year to get to here, but what do you hope we're talking about as a result of all the neat stuff and hopefully other things that we're hopefully moving in other ways, right?
I would say like, what I want to say to start with is there are a lot of things I hope we're not talking about anymore. We fixed a bunch of problems, but I know realistically that's not going to be the case, but I would love to see, you know, just some real advancement on social justice issues so that when we're talking about our successes in all of these different categories. But I would love to see us talking about the Youth Poet Laureate Program. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see us talking about recent books that we've read on high school trains. I just would love to see a combination of discussion that's really like framing the arts within a social justice context, and that is something that we're that's the main conversation about the arts. That's what I would like to see.
Yeah, and I think, you know, coming out of that too is just we're going to be opening up again, and there'll be this complete joy of reconnecting. And I know there's going to be the art of reconnecting, because we're going to just be exfoliating all of this isolation. We're going to see each other in completely new ways.
Yeah.
Because all the thousands of moments that were every day to us before, we will be savoring them. Like this, you know, this like hyper appreciation that we'll have.
Me too.
I'm still thinking about the phrase exfoliation of isolation.
I wrote it down.
That's all. Sorry, you said it. I'm like, borrow that? And I'm like, thinking of a loofah. And I'm like,
that just came out.
That's right. That's right. That's absolutely right. Yeah. That's some of it conscious, some of it unconscious. Right. And what does that mean? Right. Yeah.
Wow. Well, also, I think probably feel like I imagine that our sensory experiences are going to be really intense as well. Because of the isolation and the exfoliation.
No, I was just thinking, you know, again, this sort of leads me to think about the nature of friendships and relationships, right? And that it'll be revisited in a unique way as we come out of this isolation. How I do think we need people so much. And what will it mean what will be the new habits or the new practices or appreciations we'll have to acknowledge that? Simultaneously, right? I think what we've also witnessed, again, I'll say I've witnessed, and it goes back to this notion of spaces that you talked about, is the erosion perhaps of our ability to hold space together.
Yeah.
And I'm also curious about how we're going to handle that, because it's something to be like, I forgot, somebody was sharing this the other day and it really resonated with me. Like, we can be really all, and again, I'm doing the royal we. Sometimes it's harder to say something to someone's face in person than it is when you type in a comment or in a tweet, right? And it's the practice of literally saying stuff to people's face and I'm not saying stuff to their face, but it's just this notion of like literally being in shared space, having the words with each other. That is so different than I think the majority of our dialogue that has been conducted via quote unquote social media over the last year, right? And I guess I'm curious to see how we all handle that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, part of what I was thinking about when I said our sensory experiences are so intense, I was actually thinking about what is it going to be like to hug someone? Like, what is that going to feel like? You know, after, you know, Jenny is the only recipient of my hugs for like the last year. And
we're very
like,
lucky.
I think about like, oh, I'm going to get to hug this person. I'm so excited. But I also know that it's going to differ from person to person how strange that all feels.
Mm-hmm. And I think we're just going to have to remain, I was talking about like hypersensitivities, in addition to hyper appreciations, like we are going to feel like really raw. But to keep that in mind and to keep that in conversation, like not to feel it and hide it, but to like actually express those things and make it more commonplace to do so.
That would be a really good poetry workshop.
Yeah.
That kind of like the body, like and the mind and the spirit coming back into physical contact with other bodies and minds. I think that would be something really, really good to explore.
Even like just, you know, having people explore the metaphors of like what it feels to see people in a virtual space versus, you know, out in public, you know, the difference between looking at a fish through aquarium glass and actually being thrown in the water with the fish, you know,
everything is different. Acknowledge that there are some there will be some shared uncertainties and awkwardnesses that it might feel strange to say out loud, but that everyone is actually experiencing. So why not acknowledge that, you know? Yeah. I would absolutely go to that workshop, please. Keep me posted.
It's a workshop we should all be going to, poet or not poet. I think we all have to reorient ourselves as we join the commons one more time. Let's say re-entry.
So as we wrap up our time together, I want to turn to a question that we end all of our interviews with. We like to bestow the temporary power of making our guests the city's czar of arts and culture, we call it. It only lasts for a couple minutes, but so you have to work quick. But I'm curious, if you had all the power to make Milwaukee's arts and culture world even better, what would you do? Yes.
And you each get a policy each. So you each get one each. You don't have to agree on the same one.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for this honor.
You're the first person to thank us, by the way. Everyone else has been like, okay, of course. Yes, finally. But you're like, this honestly was you're the first one to express gratitude at the acknowledgement. So let's note that. That tells me something about the way you lead as well. It's a very gratitude-based leadership style. Thank you. Go ahead. Please continue.
I would say, it's so hard because there's so many things.
Yeah.
But if I was going to pick just a single policy, it would be to flood the schools with arts funding and to make the arts part of every single student's day, every single day, every teacher's day. I think we need the arts in the schools for every student every day.
Mm. Yeah, of course, I agree with that. I will expand my point to say that I think we need more unrestricted funding for the arts. I demand it.
Yes.
We need to be trusted to get out there and do the work. We're doing it. Organizations like ours, our community partners in the arts, we could have so much greater reach if we had the unrestricted funds.
Mm. We'd have so much more time.
Mm-hmm. Time to do the work.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's been really one thing that's been really great during the pandemic is in terms of upsides. Funders really have understood that there's been enormous pressure and enormous tasks and workloads on organizations. Mm-hmm. And a lot of funders have been use your grant for operations, even though it was a programming grant, or we're going to reduce your reporting requirements. And that's been so helpful. And I hope that what is learned from this, from the foundations and funders, are that actually, if you want the arts to thrive, you really need to give them some trust and make space for them to have the time to carry out their work and try to, obviously you want to make sure you're doing the right thing with your funding, but yeah, I think trying to make the process easier for organizations.
Yeah, and the other thing that we've seen through that too is, again, huge shout out to the funders and donors who have made this easy for us.
I want to shout out to GMF.
GMF, Greater Milwaukee Foundation has been awesome. Yeah. And what we've seen from donors and funders too is that the funds, they still exist there. There is even more for the arts out there than we could have expected.
Yeah.
It's become easier to access and it's helped the arts in Milwaukee survive.
Yeah.
Through this.
Yeah.
So we have immense gratitude for that.
Yeah.
But we would love to see that access continue.
Yeah. All right. How about let's get to thrive. If we know what allows us to survive, trust us to allow it to thrive, right? Because
it would be amazing if what we learned, our big takeaway from this pandemic was that let's not push arts organizations to the point at which they are always on the verge of collapse and like an emergency comes along and suddenly like everybody's in trouble. Let's try to build them up like during times where you don't have a pandemic. Well, we're still not there, but soon.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you're sort of lifting up, and this might be another podcast, just so the mental models like overhead is bad and things like that, right? Which only how much percent of your money goes directly to program, or like we're going to pay for program and not for leaders to create, right? There's an art of running an order. There's an art of executing things. And, I don't want to turn the end of this podcast as a soapbox against, because philanthropy is important. Here's the obligatory hands are up. Hey, listen, philanthropy, get it. But what I'm hearing you say is, you as leaders have always been creative and innovative. Right. And so how to extend the grace to, if you invest even more in that, you'll actually trust you all to create exponentially even more, to borrow their language, value, for what's being produced. And I think that's my hope too, is that I think the other thing I'm thinking about that you made me resonated is that as much as artists and creatives will continue to create art because that's what makes their heart beat, it doesn't mean that, they got to do it. So this, let them do it, as opposed to what if we actually created platforms and ways to prioritize them and make them more central. Because in the pandemic, we saw how central it was for people to have these things so that they could sustain themselves and their humanity. And it's so, yeah. Well, even though your term is ended, we are committed to carrying the legacy out, because it's really where we, and that's what we'll do at Imagine, is making sure how do we do that. But in the interim, Jenny and Laura, where can our listeners find y'all?
So I would suggest everybody following us on Instagram right this second, because we get this Milwaukee poem a day on Saturday. Yes. So that's at Rhythm Pattern. And then our website is rhythmpattern.org, and you can find out about programs and everything we do there.
And we will also be pushing the poem a day on Facebook and Twitter. All basically across this platform, and then we're going to open up.
Yes.
Hopefully in by June. And so we're in River West at 720 East Locust Street.
Yes.
So if you go to, again, woodlandpattern.org, you'll be able to find all the updates, and you'll be able to continue also to attend our events virtually in the time being.
And at the physical location, this is something I think a lot of people don't realize, except for those who are in the know about it, is when the pattern functions very much like a reading room, like books are for sale, but like people come in and just read. So like just come in and like find a poetry book and read it. Don't take long to read.
Well, I can't wait until the day we can do that. Jenny and Laura, thank you again for joining us today. We'll see you again soon.
Thank you so much for having us, and for all the work you're doing in the community. You all have been fantastic.
Yes.
Well, Mac, I've written down exfoliating this isolation, and I plan to use it with accreditation moving forward. What a great way to describe.
Does it Venmo them a quarter every time you use the phrase? Like,
yeah, that's right.
Automatically sends them a quarter.
Straight to Jenny's Venmo. Yeah.
There's something cool when you talk to people who are really good with words, and even when they're first drafting their thoughts. There were several times I was just in a space of like, I just want to sit with those words a little bit longer. I'm sorry the conversation moved on, but it's like I got to take it in, and it's how neat they are. I love that poem that they shared. I didn't even know what poem they're gonna pick, right? Mm-mm. But
that's right.
I really was struck by it, and appreciative of it. And I don't know if you had that moment, Lindsay, because we were both like, the pitch was like, oh yeah, let's do a poem exchange. Great. And then they dropped that Laura Diaz one. And I had a moment like, are we really going to share our poem? That seems kind of,
but
they were so gracious.
They were so gracious.
They're like, yeah, oh, that's lovely. Yeah. I'm like, yeah.
It had its moments.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. I know, but like, when you stack it next to that one, I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, almost, there's that vibe of like, oh, I can't believe we got to follow that act. And I had that vibe. Yeah. Like, I can't believe we got to.
The amateur following the professional. Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah. What a lovely, and I'm also struck with the image of Laura shared that story of just going into a dark space on a warm summer day and having that magic of being in that place and experiencing that art and then emerging and not wanting to leave. Man, I can think of all sorts of concert experiences in particular for me that have felt like that. And so just that energy combined with the spring weather outside is making me feel like, yeah, we're getting back to that. And how much more magical will that be when we can share that again?
Well, our city and state is so much the better for having the Woodland Pattern. So grateful for them for taking the time. And who else I'm really grateful for?
Our listeners.
Thanks so much for listening to the pod, y'all. If you enjoy this episode and like to support the pod, please share with others and post about it on the social media or leave a rating and review or contact us directly at pod@imaginemke.org.
Imagine This Podcast is a team effort produced, edited, and hosted by MacArthur Antigua, David Lee, and Lindsay Sheridan, and is the flagship of the Imagine MKE Podcast Network.
Make sure you also listen and subscribe to Black Imagination and back episodes of Arts Forward MKE, all of which can be found at imaginemke.org/podcasts.
To catch all the latest from Imagine MKE, hit us up on Twitter and Instagram @imagine_MKE or on Facebook or LinkedIn @imaginespace_MKE.
Thanks again. We're going to catch you next Tuesday when we'll have another guest who I promise will be really, really cool. We're just trying to decide on which one.
Until then,
bye.
Have a good one.
Bye.
We don't have a new piano cover this week.
No.
Okay.
Do you want me to do a mouth harp?
So my musical endeavor today is that I'm getting ready to record a sunrise mass for a Bel Canto virtual release.
So oh, wow. That's exciting.
Yeah. What?
A sunrise mass for Easter?
So you're gonna sing it?
Yeah,
oh, you're part of a group that's singing.
Yeah, Bel Canto has been doing like virtual. I could have gone and recorded it in person, and I decided I wasn't ready for that. So I'm recording on my own, and then they put it together.
Mm. Yeah, like over Zoom, or you're just recording it like on MP3 for them?
Like on a video on my phone, and then they put it together.
Oh, and then they splice it in.
Yeah, we did this for Christmas. And now this is the second one.
When you said I'm recording the sunrise mass, my first image was you in the booth telling the bell count to go, all right, your level's got to go up. Like you were like recording, like you were in the producing.
I'd like to learn that skill someday.
But that's my first thought. And then I had to take a step back and, oh, you mean you're singing with that? But
yeah,
I thought you were producing it. All right, bell canto chorus.
This is just the bonus. Probably won't be used for anything.
Well, maybe at the end. Oh, Easter egg.